You're listening to Live at Lunch, the music sessions produced at KUSP, Central Coast Public Radio, and KUSP.org.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Pabst Brewing, proud supporter of local artists nationwide, and of the NPR Live in Concert Series, online at PabstBlueRibbon.com.
You are listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP Santa Cruz, and we have got Anais. Say it, your name.
It's Anais.
Anais. Anais?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like to say, to remind people, I say an A is a letter that comes at the beginning of the alphabet. Anais.
Anais.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But I won't hold it against you if you can't remember. It's a really tough one.
So, okay, tonight you're opening up for Ani DeFranco. Let's get that out there and let everybody know there's still tickets available for the show tonight in Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
At the Santa Cruz Civic. I think the doors open at 6:30.
I think you're right. Yeah.
I think I am too, but it's around that time. Tickets are still available. And so it's a treat to have you here in the studio today. You get to open up for Ani tonight. That's a big thrill, I'm sure, for you. But tell me about yourself.
Okay.
I don't know where you want to start, but
the whole story, or
let's do the little summed up version.
Okay. Well, I'm Anais. I grew up in Vermont. I was born and raised there. We call it the Independent Republic of Vermont. It's a great state, very proud and awesome. And I grew up on a little sheep farm. My parents were hippies, and they were like back to the landers.
You may want to explain to us here in Santa Cruz what that is. Hippies, back to the landers. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. Actually, my folks lived in California for a while. I think they were out here for like the summer of love and things. And,
cool.
Yeah, and then they moved to Vermont. And my dad is a novelist as well as a professor of film and literature. And my mom does different kinds of social work projects. And I grew up like really in the middle of nowhere. We had sheep, we had 65 ewes and 2 rams. And it was pretty imaginative. Like, we didn't have a TV and we barely had neighbors. So a lot of like running around in the woods with my brother and stuff. And I first started getting into music because my dad, no one in my immediate family is really musicians, but they love music, and even if they can't really sing it, and they love, like, my dad had a great record collection, a lot of folk revivalist type, you know, Dylan and Joan Baez and Joni Mitchell later on, and Leonard Cohen and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was always really into lyrics and had a great head for lyrics. He can still like recite entire albums and stuff. So, and because he was a writer and because the record collection was kind of part of the library, I sort of always thought of songwriting as a another wing of the literature, you know, family.
Indeed.
And so that was that's when I first sort of got into songwriting and music like that. And then I picked up the guitar, and when I started to really write my own songs, it was it would have been in the late 90s, I guess, and that was right when I had just discovered Ani DeFranco.
Me too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those early records are the first one, you know, the Like I Said and Puddle Dive.
That would be, you know, I first found Dilate. That was the first one, but then when I went back into the collection, and then Puddle Dive became like my ultimate favorite. And so was it that kind of a sound that got you into thinking, hey, you know, this is kind of where I feel like I could find my portal out, you know, getting all of that out of your head, and you were already writing?
I think I might have been just learning songs, but I learned some Ani DeFranco songs when I was that age. But it was, yeah, and it wasn't just Ani, actually, at that time. I feel like there was a few women songwriters that suddenly were in the public eye, and they were so, like, Dar Williams was actually a big influence at that time, too, and like, Tori Amos and Ricky Lee Jones and stuff, and it definitely, I think it was inspiring because here were women, like, people will shut up and listen to what they have to say because the way they're saying it is so beautiful. And
no one's saying those things, like, openly. Well, at that time, I think a lot of people feel more free now, but no one was really talking about the things we really are going through. And men, you think you know and you don't.
Right.
You know, like, and women can't relate to the way men perceive women, and to have a woman come out and talk about things that probably aren't appropriate kind of like inspires you to go, wow, you know, I'm okay, because this is not just me. It's someone else who's feeling it too. And they're actually like making money talking about it, or making a living as an artist, you know, expressing it. Kind of liberating, don't you think?
Absolutely, yeah. And Ani, I think, like, has that in spades. You know, that's she's really good at that.
You think?
Putting her finger on the thing that people don't want to say and just saying it.
Yeah.
So that was, yeah, so I guess I started writing songs and picked up the guitar inspired by those women. And then I've been, like, you know, hammering away at it for a while, but I was sort of in and out of, I was in and out of college, and then I graduated from school and decided I would just try to play music and like move into my car basically and tried to make that happen. And I'm so, like, it blows my mind that to have the support of RBR now and and to get to be on this tour is like really a dream come true. So
And isn't it a challenge when you are inspired by a certain artist to keep yourself uniquely, you're your own voice, and you're not trying to really mimic someone else, but you're trying to find that voice in you and have it be your own unique gift to the world. At what point did you know that you had your own like style of where you were going with all of it? Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
I've been told my questions lack logic, so excuse me.
Oh, no, you make it sense. You're coming across. well, it's a fine line, isn't it? Because I feel like a lot of artists need to, I mean, you need to have influences and almost to imitate people for a while. Like, I really love a lot of Bob Dylan's early records that are really ripped off from, you know, a traditional like British Isles folk stuff. I love that. I think it's really powerful, and the way that he took in those influences and then spat them back out in his own, with his own voice. And yeah, but I do think, I mean, actually, especially with Ani, she was such an important, and still is, but like for women of my generation that grew up with her music and started playing music, there's so many of us that were trying to sound like her. The big challenge was to sort of go beyond that, like find a different path.
What I found kind of interesting reading about you was that when they approached you, someone gave Ani your CD, right, or a demo or a record you had done.
I guess so.
Where I'm going with this is that didn't they approach you to record and you're like, well, what do you want me to do? And they're like, do what you want, and if we like it, we'll sign you.
Yeah, that's sort of the way they roll. It's cool. I mean, they don't get involved.
Right. Do what you do.
Yeah.
And you kind of locked yourself into, didn't you have your own studio in like a farmhouse or a...
Not my own studio, but a good friend and collaborator named Michael Chorney has this studio. It's in the town that I went to high school in Vermont. Mm-hmm. And it's a really beautiful, it's a converted grain mill.
Okay.
So it's just a big wooden room. And I was renting the apartment above the studio at the time that we started to record. So it really did feel like my living room.
You only had to walk downstairs.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so cool.
I'm really grateful for it, you know, because I felt so comfortable there. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a ton of recording experience, but I know that it's easy to get in a situation where you feel like, really uptight, and you're in a booth and there's a headphones and it's weird. Mm-hmm. And this was so the opposite of that kind of experience.
You had the freedom to kind of be who you were, and if we like you too, then we'll bring you along for the ride, right?
Right.
Well, obviously it worked out because here you are, and I'd love to, let's get you on plane right now.
Okay.
We could talk all day. We've already been chit-chatting.
It's true.
We'll have you come back when you come back through town anytime, and tell us a little bit about what you're going to play right now.
Okay. Well, let me just say real quick before I forget that I am coming back next month.
Yay!
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the date is the 24th of August at this place.
That's a good date. And the reason why just saw me get a big smile on my face, that's my daughter's birthday, so that's a good date.
Cool.
So August 24th, good date.
All right. and the venue is the E3 Playhouse,
yes.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so That's bad.
Yeah, they've gotten a little bit of publicity lately themselves.
Oh, cool. I was hearing about them.
Yeah, well, let's just hope you're able to play and that everything works out for them.
I heard something about that, too. So
yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'll let you know if the venue has to change.
Well, and just so that everybody knows, if you're coming back through, if something, you know, God forbid goes wrong, we'll find another place for you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There's good. Plenty of places in Santa Cruz to play music, right, folks?
Awesome.
Okay, cool.
I was thinking I might do some things that are not recorded because you have the record, so you can always play those songs. And
you could do whatever you want for the next 20 minutes. It's all yours.
Okay. Is that coming across?
That was beautiful.
Ah, thanks.
Normally I would clap and go, woohoo! But I've been told that during the time the musician's playing, I should just be really quiet till they're done all the way. So, woohoo! That was great. Good job. Nice job. Beautiful voice. And let's hear some more.
Really? You want me to go for it here?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
Well, maybe I'll do something. This tune comes from a broader piece I'm working on, which is it's like a piece of music theater. I'm calling it a folk opera.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's called Hades Town.
Oh, okay.
It's based on the Orpheus myth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's set in like a sort of a post-apocalyptic American Depression era town.
Uh-huh.
And this song I'm going to do is a song that Hades sings, and he's building a giant wall all around Hades Town, and so this is his song of indoctrination, and it's a call and response. So if you wanted to join in from over there,
really, you want me to join in?
Well, if you want to, you too.
Mainly, I'm. This is Brett Taylor right here.
Why we We build a wall, we build a wall to keep us free. How does the wall keep us free, my children, my children? How does the wall keep us free? How does the wall keep us free? The wall keeps out the enemy, and we build a wall to keep us free. That's why we build a wall.
You sounded great on your CD, but you just sound fantastic right here in the studio right now.
Aw, thanks. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm not ready to let you go just yet. So you got another 10 minutes in you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's. Do you want to play something else, or do we want to play something off your CD? Or while we have you here live, let's... Brett's saying live. Yeah, that was a great song, by the way. And you're still working on that song?
No, that song is pretty much done, but yeah. The piece itself is like, it's long, you know, hopefully it'll be about an hour and a half, and it's the telling of this whole story, and,
That's cool.
Yeah, it's so awesome and fun for me, like, it's a very collaborative project. My friend Michael is writing the score, this instrumental score for this amazing band, mm-hmm. In Vermont, called Magic City, and then there's this really crazy theatrical director that's helping out too, and he's from, I don't know if you've ever heard of Bread and Puppet Circus.
Bread and Puppet Circus?
Yeah, it's
no,
this
but
really
it sounds
far
interesting.
Out. Yeah, there's just this guy, Peter Schumann, I think is his name. I think he was kind of at his zenith actually in the 60s and 70s, but then he moved to Vermont and he has this crazy puppet theater, uh-huh. And so anyway, this guy is kind of a alumni of that. So it's a very, the collaboration is really awesome for me because oftentimes I'm just writing, definitely writing by myself, but playing by myself, and to get to like work with other people, and the sense of like the sum greater than the parts and
yes.
stuff. is really fun.
So you have this vision of a stage performance, like with you on the stage and then people, the characters coming out in like a theatrical piece with this, right?
Well, actually, we put up a version of it last year, and now I'm working on it again, and then we're going to put up like a big new version of it at the end of this year.
So it's like a play.
It's an opera.
It's an opera.
Yeah, totally. And I have a part in it, although it's not the main part. There's maybe six main characters and then a three-piece chorus and then the band.
So there's pieces of music you're not playing but that you've written.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Which is also totally cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I love... That's like my little wet dream to hear my song coming out of somebody else's mouth. It's really great.
Right on. Oh, that's so funny. I won't digress, but...
Right. So what am I going to do here?
Well, let's again, while you're trying to tune, that's a beautiful guitar, first of all. It sounds lovely. Tell me about your guitar.
The story of my guitar?
Yeah, what kind of guitar is that, or is that...
It's an Alvarez Yari.
Mm-hmm, sounds beautiful.
Thanks, I love it.
It sounds great.
I like the size of it. It really feels right in my hands, and there is kind of a story attached to it. I go to this folk festival in Texas called the Kerrville Folk Festival, and I didn't go this year, but I went for like 5 years in a row or something like that, and it was sort of a really important to me getting started as a songwriter, and it's just a great scene there. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend that, I guess I had just bought a guitar. It was a Seagull. I bought it from one of the like old guys in the trailer that has all the guitars in there. Mm-hmm. And it was like late at night and we were all out. The festival takes place on this ranch and we're standing there in the road, and my friend picked up my guitar to play it and he dropped it by accident and got a big crack in it. And he felt so bad, and I was like, it's fine. And he said, oh, I'll give you my guitar, you know, which is this Yari, which I really loved and I had played before. And I was like, no, I can't take it because it's a more expensive guitar. I felt like it wasn't fair. And
he loved it.
I refused to take it the first year. And then the second year he offered it again and I refused it again. Mm-hmm. And then the third year he just kind of handed it to me and I took it home with me.
Sounds beautiful. It goes good with your boots, by the way.
With my boots?
Yeah, it looks great with your boots.
Hey, that's great to hear.
Yeah.
And these boots, my friend found them on the side of the road. And this was another story because they were like, I love these boots. And it was a Cinderella thing where they didn't fit her feet. And she said, if they fit your feet, you know, they're meant for you. Mm-hmm. And I admit it took me like 10 minutes to put them on the first time.
So they didn't quite fit.
Yeah, but once I got them on, they felt really good. So she gave them to me.
I love that. I saw them on the side of the road. There you go. You're in Santa Cruz, honey. That happens all the time.
Oh, yeah? Good. I'll keep my eyes open then.
We pride ourselves on our thrift stores around here. We got great thrift stores, by the way.
I believe it. Wow. I haven't had a chance to check them out.
You should.
Yeah.
When you come back through, when you have more time.
I want to see your pink umbrella guy, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You will. Well, we'll take you on a tour. Next time you come to town, we'll have more time. We'll take you on a tour.
Okay. That sounds great.
We'll take you to the mystery spot, too.
Mm.
Have you heard about the world famous mystery spot?
No. What's the story?
I don't know. I went there. And it's just
it's a mystery.
It's a mystery. I can't, you know, I can't spoil it for you.
Okay.
You'll get a bumper sticker.
Far out. All right.
Google it. Someone's making a lot of money. Let's just put it that way.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I'll look forward to the tour.
Yeah, the mystery spot. It's one of those places you'll see stickers like maybe now that I've mentioned it while you're going across the country because you're on your way to New York, right? Tonight?
Or tomorrow we're going.
Cool. When you're on the bus and you're like getting bored, look for the mystery spot stickers. If you're doing the license plate, like every summer when I would take my kids on the road, like not as a musician, but just like on a trip. We would look for license plates from all over, and we ended up one summer getting all of them, even Alaska and Hawaii. But now your job is to find the mystery spot stickers.
All right.
You will see them in Iowa, probably.
Okay.
Or somewhere like that.
I'll the mystery take up spot. The task. Mm-hmm. It sounds good.
Okay, cool.
Totally. So
you're looking at me like I'm nuts, but you'll enjoy it.
No. Not at all.
The mystery spot.
I'm intrigued.
There's some, like, you know, there's some magnetic force there where something's very powerful beyond our understanding, and trees kind of grow weird up out of the ground, and the compasses kind of go off the mark, and it's a bizarre kind of intriguing place. You can kind of stand in the corner and be still standing up, and I don't know.
Wow.
It's mystery.
There's something like that in Canada that I went to that was like Magnetic Hill. And if you're supposed to, like, you drive to the bottom of the hill and you put your car in neutral and it's supposed to roll uphill. Like, it's not a very, like, steep incline, so it's not as dramatic as it seems.
There's probably six packs involved, right?
Or like, right.
But we'll take you to the mystery spot sometime. We'll do that.
Sounds good.
So let's play another song. Let's remind everybody again, tonight you're going to be at the Santa Cruz Civic here in Santa Cruz.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, it's at 6:30. You start, you're opening for Ani DiFranco. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm telling everybody.
Go for it, because you probably know better than me.
I don't know. I don't know much. I don't want to know anymore. I'm at that tilt mode. I'm like a pinball machine. Tilt. But it is tonight, folks. It's tonight, and doors open, I think, at 6:30. So, and awesome. To remind all our ticket winners, if you did win tickets, you need to be picking them up at least 10 minutes after the show starts, or they go up for grabs. Okay.
Cool. So one more tune, maybe?
One more tune.
Great.
Yes. I'm afraid I'm going to say your name wrong. Anais.
You got it.
Anais Mitchell.
Golden.
Tonight. Okay, good.
Great. Well, this song is a little older, and I wrote it when the Patriot Act was signed into law.
Oh, boy.
It's a little joke.
Okay, good.
Song.
We love that stuff here.
Right. Down at headquarters, there's a big database with black and white photos of the side of your beautiful face and your library record. All your test scores and an invitation to party like it's 1984.
Taylor and I, we love having little intimate shows here in the studio. It's awesome.
Aww.
And thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're so much welcome.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the Acura TL with an available voice-activated navigation system with real-time traffic. Learn more at Acura.com.